Well, folks, welcome back. Welcome back to another Friday Roundtable. And this is 26, right? 26? Perfect. So welcome to your Friday, April 26. Rebecca's nodding her head that apparently I know what day of the week it is. And this is about take number 2000 because we're still trying to figure out how to make this new sound space work while we move stuff around and try to make it so somebody will buy this darn place so we can get going on our next big project up in Huron County. And let's see what we can do. So we are back. And we did not put out a roundtable because, quite frankly, life is too busy. Life is too crazy. Life is too many of too many things. And you know what? When you're running life on a tight budget like we are, sometimes, just end up missing the odd thing. So my sincerest of apologies for missing last Friday's roundtable. We were away. We were actually away in Cozumel, and there was eight of us that went away, and we did some diving, and we had some fun, and I got really sick. And overall, I think we had a pretty good time. But let's check in. Sherry, what was your thoughts of going away for the week?
It was actually a well-needed rest, and I was very happy that we actually did get away. I was not sure at first because I thought we had so much work to do, and I wasn't sure how it was all going to turn out, but I am so grateful now that we were able to get away.
Yeah, Rebecca?
Well, it was my first time away like that, like at an all-inclusive place, and it was amazing.
It was nice. Yeah. And where we were is Cozumel's a beautiful island to go to, just as any Caribbean island is. But one of the things that I really do love about is the reef, and staying in the area of the island where we stay, the reef is basically right offshore. And so it's a very short boat ride. And, you know, unless we go down to the southern part of the island, it might be a 20-minute boat ride, but it's never very far that we go out. And it's quite amazing. And so, Rebecca, again, on your journey to learn how to swim first and then learn how to scuba dive, which there's still a few skills to master before you're actually certified, but you did incredibly well. What was your thoughts of being underwater?
Underwater is fun. It's just getting into the water.
Okay, but let's not worry about the skills. Let's not worry about your scuba diving. What did you think about what you did see once you were in the water?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, I saw turtles and a reef shark. And I never really, turtles have always been cute, little pet turtles, but these were like massive tortoise-like.
Oh, yeah, like absolutely.
And the way they move underwater, it's just incredible to see them because they make it look so easy.
So, and Cherie was able to get certified on this dive. So again, so congratulations to her for her efforts. So obviously she was way ahead in the swimming and in the comfort around water. So she was able to get through, parts of the course a little bit quicker, but again, you will get there. There's no doubt in my mind. Sherry, what did you think of your return to Cozumel? Cause you've dove there a few times with me.
Mm-hmm. I think every time it's a little bit different. This time I actually felt probably the most comfortable I've ever felt in doing the dives. Saw some amazing things underwater again. I miss the turtles, unfortunately. I love turtles, but I did see a nurse shark swimming, which I've never seen a nurse shark swimming. And probably the most incredible thing was the three eagle rays swimming one after the other past us.
Which we were able to get some video of that, so that worked out well.
Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. It really was.
It's I think it's the eagles who there's a line in a song that the ocean is a desert where the life is underneath a line somewhere along that line. Maybe I will figure out what that line is before this podcast is over. But anyhow, again, in these round tables, one of the things I want to talk about, because we were away with other people. And so Sherry is one of them. Then we were away with another couple and their two very young kids, 3 and 4 years of age. And so very different goals, objectives. Everybody's away for the sun and they're away for the relaxation and to get away from the hecticness of this life that we have here in Canada and in North America. However, being away everybody had a different goal and a different expectation. And, you know, I'm sure it didn't quite go exactly as everybody thought it was going to. I know that Curtis said at one point that, you know, there was too little of Rick to go around for me to sit and spend some of the time. But again, I was taken out by a bag of spicy chips of whatever it was. And people are going to say, you're taken out by a bag of chips. Yeah, there's a spice that was on. There was something that was on. Maybe there was salmonella. I don't know what it was. But we ate, Sherry and I are the only two who ate these chips. And Sherry got a little bit sick. She only had a little bit of the chips. I ate a lot more of them. And oh my word, I went down, and I went down hard, and I went down for a good day and a half without food, just a little bit of water, and just I was out for 24 hours. I was just like a zombie in bed. You know, everything coming out the bottom end, the top end. It was not a good experience, but recovered and yeah, looking forward to the next trip.
Unfortunately, you had to miss that last set of dives, too.
I think in total I missed like five or six dives.
Yeah.
I think in total. But that's all right.
Every trip's a little bit different and different experiences.
So the article that I found I couldn't believe it when I came across this article. Do either of you want to give a bit of a summary, or do you want me to? What do you want to do?
I can give a quick summary.
All right.
So in this article, it's a young couple who have just been married, and they're heading off on a honeymoon, and they're flying somewhere, I think Mexico maybe. Anyways, they get to the airport, and just before they board, they get pulled over and offered an upgrade on the seat. And the wife, who is a frequent flyer, had received this because of her frequent flying from work. And she's like, oh, no. We need to stay together. This won't work. We can't upgrade. But then her new husband jumps in and says, oh, it's okay. I'll take the upgrade. And he proceeds to take the business class seat, leaving his wife, his new wife, brand new wife, in the economy. And do you want to finish it off, Rebecca?
He's an anxious flyer. So
apparently.
So during the flight, he was texting her.
Yeah.
And she was so upset that she turned the phone off and ignored it and didn't respond. So then he comes out with half of his breakfast, gives it to her.
To the back of the plane where she was.
And asks her why she's not returning his text messages. Like he needs the comfort of her. So then she tries to explain. And he thinks she's being unreasonable. And it's just, I can't believe it.
He thinks that she should be happy for him to be able to sit in the front seat.
Because it might be his only chance to do it.
To fly in business class, apparently.
Meanwhile, it's his only chance to go on his honeymoon with his wife.
Yep.
And if he needs that much reassurance, why didn't he just take the upgrade and pay for her to be upgraded as well?
Maybe there was no more seats in business. That's number one.
That is true.
And number two, the upgrade wasn't offered to him. It was offered to her because mm-hmm. she is the frequent flyer, not him. Mm-hmm. And so more importantly, if this is something that was needed, it'd be a very different situation, right? Like mm-hmm. if he'd been injured and his leg was in a cast and he needed business class, if this was needed, it would be a very different situation. But this is a person who chose to sit separate from his wife, doesn't fly much, apparently is a nervous flyer, as Rebecca said. And yet this person also then turns around and expects his wife from the back of the plane to comfort him while he sits in business class. So for folks who don't fly a lot, or even for folks who do fly a lot, if you don't fly business class, first class, if you only fly economy has become very, very, very much as you get not a whole lot with your seat other than your seat, and your seat's gotten tinier and closer together than ever imaginable. For people who sit in business class, people who travel a lot or don't travel a lot, but just prefer to sit in either business, first class, or premium, something along that line, your seats are simply wider. On some planes, they will recline right into beds. There's all kinds of different features depending on the airline and depending on the length of the flight. But again, predominantly your seat is just simply a wider, bigger seat. You don't have to share an armrest. You don't have anybody right in your space. You have many inches, you know, 6-7 inches between your arm and the next arm. And then on top of that, you also have a lot more room in front of you from you to the seat in front of you. But again, if your neighbor wants to go to the washroom or something like that, they can literally just step past you. They don't need you to get up out of their seat. Economy, that's not going to happen, right? You need the people around you to move. So there are reasons why people pay for business class and why people want the upgrade and why people are willing to do it. In this particular case, again, it was very apparent. And when Rebecca posted the article, it is truly apparent that what this guy wanted was he wanted the proverbial, I want my cake so I can look at it. Plus I want to eat it. Plus I want to show it off. Plus I want to make sure that everybody's going to take care of me. And so since we had just been away and there's a bit of an irony in here, and I don't want anyone to read into what I'm saying. People will, but please do not. So, as we went away, this was very much a business meeting. It was a lot of stuff, and I was more than happy to pay for Rebecca and Sherry to go away, and I was more than happy to pay for it as a token of my appreciation for all the efforts that they've put into Black Sheep Rebranded and to make these podcasts what they are and to put this forward. And I was just so incredibly appreciative of their efforts over the last few years of getting this thing to come alive. And so to pay for that, and so I paid for 2 window seats, and a friend of ours upgraded to business class knowing that there was 1 seat available, and so was able to get the business class seat for nominal amount of money going each way. And so I paid for 2 window seats, and I did not sit in either window on either flight. And so people are going to go, well, you're digging into something here, Rick. You're trying to make a point. The point that I'm trying to make is again, I'm there to share my space and my time with people. And when I was asked if I wanted the window seat, I did not answer the question. I left it up to that individual to either simply realize if they're asking a question, perhaps they shouldn't take my business class window seat for the second flight. They did. It doesn't bother me. But the fact is, again, why doesn't it bother me? What do you guys think?
I have no idea, because I think it would have bothered me.
Why?
Isn't it kind of like courtesy to...
It should have been courtesy and it wasn't. But that's not the point. The point is, it still didn't actually bother me. Why didn't it bother me? Because the point was for us to all be there. And if I absolutely wanted that seat, I would have said it. I did want the seat. I paid for it. And I booked it months ago wanting to ensure I had 2 window seats. And so I actually did want the seat. However, I didn't need the seat bad enough. And if the person truly, truly wanted to have that, again, as a gesture of kindness, no problem.
Because they're a window seat. For those who like to take pictures or those who like to see things, is a beautiful opportunity. And knowing that there's 2 flights, it's nice to switch them up.
Which you two did.
We did.
Okay, mm-hmm. Which again is what I think is the interesting part about this article. Because this guy looks at his wife, who flies all the time, and goes, well, you're so comfortable with it, but then wants to automatically take her upgrade without a conversation about what are the implications, and nor is there any conversation within his own head about what is this potentially going to look like. Again, what is this potentially going to look like?
no thought to repercussions.
Absolutely. And so it's funny. I got, again, I was quite ill, as stated. And somebody said to me, and I've had it said to me since I returned, that, oh my God, well, that ruined your holiday. No, it didn't. Why didn't it ruin my holiday?
Other people were still able to enjoy, and you saw the happiness in them and what they were able to do.
Absolutely. And so the fact that it took me out, the fact that again, and people, it has been, I do not remember ever a time in my life when simultaneously, right, I had stuff coming up the top end that I'm holding in, and like my mouth is full while I'm having it explode out the bottom, and I got no garbage can, I got nothing to get rid of the stuff coming out the top. And seriously, I was sick. Mm-hmm. Very, very sick. And yet, as sick as I was, again, it's no. Like, people, seriously, have your life, enjoy it, do it. It is your holiday, and I'm not going to have my holiday take away from anybody else's. And so it doesn't matter who paid for it. It doesn't matter where the money's come from. It doesn't matter about any of that. What it matters about is the repercussions for the people around you.
Mm-hmm. And that gentleman in the article didn't take that into consideration one bit.
And it was funny because we had had, and this, you know, maybe TMI, maybe it's too much information, but we had had other issues with the toilet at the resort, not with it not flushing very well, as though there was a blockage down the line somewhere. And so, and it was really funny because while I was throwing up, while I was having the diarrhea, while I was doing all the stuff I was doing, I was also being very conscientiously aware of how much was going into the toilet and flushing it regularly. And Rebecca's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't want it to back up. We've already had that problem. I don't want that problem either. And so again, so trying to, again, be aware, okay, and I'm not asking anybody else out there to be my weirdness sense of myself, but what I'm asking and what I'm saying is, again, that people do not bother to take the consequences of these actions, and they don't bother to take the consequences of their actions and go, here's a reasonable outcome. So this guy sits there, as Sherry and Rebecca said, and as the article said, this is the beginning of their marriage. Likely not the beginning of them living together, but this is the beginning of their marriage. And the beginning of their marriage is, I take your business class seat, I then complain to you because you can't comfort me from the back of the plane. Welcome to the next 30 years of your life? Hell no.
No.
Absolutely hell no. And as a therapist, I would be going, dude, I if she divorces you today, I hope you're not surprised. And sweetheart, in 20 years, when you're going for marriage counseling because he's still a selfish human being and has no self-awareness, again, don't be surprised.
This is an example of one of those red flags.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe a great big giant red flag.
Okay, so y'all tell me, you know, what did you guys take out of the article that's applicable to our trip? And like I said, it did not matter to me, and that's a lie. I would have appreciated having the seat, because I know that, again, coming back up, and the reason why I booked the flight or booked the seats that I flew, because I've flown down to Cozumel enough times, I knew what side of the airport or what side of the plane I want to be on to have a good view again, because of the lighting, a good view of Niagara Falls and a good view of the Toronto skyline flying back in. And so knowing where the markers are, knowing what the flight plan is, and again, so I wanted that seat. That's why I sat on that side of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
No issue. I'm not going to answer your question when you say, do I get to have that seat again? Because again, if you have to ask that question, and this is where the simple repercussions for the actions, I don't think people actually, again, they want to stop and think. What they're asking for always is some level of forgiveness, some level of anonymity, that they can do what they wish and life goes on. No. Doesn't happen. And so again, so I'm going to go back to you two. Mm-hmm. Think about your dives. Think about the efforts that were put in by all parties, to try to ensure that everybody had a good time.
And I think that's the difference between our trip and the article, is that there was give and take, there was adjustment, because as we started our adventure, we had a vision of what things were going to happen, and there were dives booked, but people's level of availability, whether it was through sickness or readiness to complete a dive, changed. So we adjusted, but we adjusted and we always touched base with others. Rebecca was concerned because she wasn't able to go on a couple of dives because she wasn't ready for them. And she was concerned that we would be upset. And the reality was, no, we adjusted our schedule so that we could be with her. And I think that was the beauty of our trip compared to that article.
And when I did go for my dive, that's when Rick and Sherry were sick. So they couldn't accompany me, but Sherry did. And she did an awesome job holding my hand, making sure that I knew that she was there if I needed someone.
And that's where the guy getting on that plane didn't have the awareness to go, if I'm having to ask questions, maybe this isn't where I should be sitting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, you're sitting in business class. So we flew Air Canada down to Cozumel, and the charter, the catering company that they use was went on strike between our first flight and our second flight. And so we didn't get a typical warm with real silverware, real plates, real stuff, for our meal on our return. Not their fault. And yet I heard people around complain. Why am I sitting up here? Well, you're sitting up here for the leg room. You're sitting up here for the seat. You're sitting up here for a thousand reasons, people. You're not sitting up here because you're super special. You're sitting up here because you wanted to pay for the extra space, because you certainly aren't paying the extra money because you're not getting a $400 meal. So again, the reality, that people don't want to sit there and ask, again, if I have to ask these questions, if I have to do this stuff, there's a really good chance I am not where I should be. What are you thinking there, Rebecca?
I was actually happy with the chicken wrap.
And? Sherry?
I was fine with it. My only concern, and it was just a selfish concern, was, maybe I'd like something to drink other than water. But I was quite satisfied with what I had. And we had a lovely snack before we left. I wasn't actually hungry.
And so, again, this is where, folks, when you look ahead and you accept and you just roll with things, but you also understand that just because there's an opportunity, like sitting in business class and this guy wanting to do it and take the seat away from his wife, just because you want to doesn't mean you should, number one. And number two, when you do that and you isolate yourself, you are creating a situation that you have to live with the consequences of. And the guy didn't want to live with that. And again, I ate some spicy stuff, and the consequences were that my stomach just went absolutely nuts and said, no, this is not good. It's not staying in. And every meal you've had for the last week is coming out too. It is not going to be good. And so the reality is that, again, there's consequences for whatever it is that we do. But in this day and age, it doesn't seem that anybody wants to pay or accept the reasonable consequences of those actions. And again, like I said, ultimately, at the end of the day, I will fly again. And at the end of the day, I will have the opportunity to take photos again. And at the end of the day, life will happen. But again, at the end of the day, I didn't really care, because it was somebody who I liked who was sitting in the seat. And if they get to enjoy the window, great. But again, there are repercussions, and people don't want to stop and ask the realistic question, why would the person book two window seats if he didn't really, really want one? And again, they ask the question because what they want, going back to the respect conversation, they want to be given permission. Mm-hmm. Which, again, if you have to ask the question, you likely shouldn't have been there. And just like the dude in the article, if you got to ask for comfort from your wife, there's a really good chance you shouldn't be sitting in that seat. But again, oh my dear God, people, look the hell around. People all over the place do not want to stop and realize that the ramification for this process is real. And the ramification is that, you know what? When you decide where you want to sit, how you want to sit, you decide to listen to or ignore what the people around you are saying, there will be a repercussion. And for that dude in that article, man, as a therapist, I am hoping and praying that that was some bizarre little snippet, but I highly doubt that it is. And I truly believe that that was an example of that person going, you know what? The world owes me something.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just too damn sad. So overall, Miss Sherry, what did you think of the article? What did you think of the trip? And what did you think about what we can all take away from this podcast and from, you know, what we've just talked about?
Wow, that's a big question.
It is a damn big question, but I can't wait to hear it.
You know what? That article actually reminded me of a number of people, and it put into perspective things that I've experienced over the last 50 years. And reminded me that what I want to have in my life is people who actually take a moment to ask about what they're doing. When an opportunity is there and it may affect others, have a conversation. And I think for the most part, we're doing better at that as a group. I hope it continues on. And I think, this is actually an interesting podcast. Just because of the different perspectives. And I look forward to another trip.
Perfect. Rebecca?
I know we just got back, but I can't wait for another trip.
All right. And besides the next trip, what's your thoughts on the article, that guy, on not stopping and thinking about the simple repercussions of again, trying to seize opportunities that you really shouldn't maybe always seize and so on. Becoming a little bit more aware. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, if you know that you need the extra comfort, then why give that up? Like the extra comfort of his wife.
Because he didn't think he'd have to give up anything. He thought that he could have his business class seat and his wife holding his hand from the back of the bus going, hey, darling, it's okay. Eat my meal in my seat and I will comfort you as well. And by the way, I can't wait to have sex with you. Are you kidding me? That's what the guy expected.
Not a chance.
Oh, my dear God. The stories of the therapist. The stories of life. Honestly, man, you can't make this stuff up.
No. And it reminds me of exes.
Yeah.
Through and through.
Oh, my God, yeah. But hey, remind you of an ex or two there, Miss Rebecca?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Reminds me of family. Reminds me of so many different situations. But the long and short is, people, I am certainly happy that it was not me that the person said, hey, you've been upgraded. I'm going to take your seat because I'm pretty sure I would have left in handcuffs. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't have left in handcuffs, but it would have been an interesting conversation, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, so what do you say? If we kick this around there enough, folks, you got anything to add that you want to add to this? What do you want to do?
Just that if you're starting swimming lessons, hoping to go scuba diving in a couple months, be more realistic about your comfort of being in the water.
You know what? You've come a hell of a long ways and you should be proud of it.
Absolutely.
I have, but there's some of the little nuances I didn't take into account when I was practicing my skills.
That's like right.
Getting into the water in the first place.
That's part of getting water in your face. Yeah. How deep did you go on the dive?
49.
49 feet.
Yeah.
Was that the first time you were 49 feet underwater?
Yeah.
How'd that work out?
It was amazing.
Yeah, well, you keep up the skills, you keep up your swimming lessons, and you know, you'll make it happen.
And for folks out there wondering about Rebecca swimming, she's starting from nothing.
Yeah.
The two little kids that were with us on vacation, they had more water awareness than she had when she started.
Oh, my God. At 3 and 4. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, they've been going to the beach since day one. They've been splashing a wave since day one. Miss Brittany, great friend of ours, and just the most wonderful human being you could ever imagine. Yeah, one day last fall, she was looking at Rebecca, and she was talking about all the different things in life that Rebecca had or hadn't done. And Brittany's walking through a parking lot, and she looks over, and she goes, "Hey, is that the rock you were living under?" And just kidding the hell out of Rebecca. But you know what? The fact is, it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter whether you were living under a rock for a few decades. You know, you can always, always crawl out and spread your wings and fly and learn to do things. And that is exactly what is happening here with Miss Rebecca.
Thank you, guys. And with that.
Music's coming on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
I guess it's the end.
I guess. All right, folks. Hey, anyhow, again, welcome to another Roundtable Black Sheep Rebranded, where we just take something and the three of us throw out our ideas. And, hopefully you guys will read the article and think about that guy and his wife and think about your own life and think about the red flags that you see and, you know, why would you push on through? And you know what? I have people all the time who, you know, they say to me, "I saw these red flags 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and they just never changed." And, well, they're likely not going to, folks, unfortunately. Not unless the person is sitting there going, "I need to change this." And so pay attention to the people around you, because eventually the way that they are treating others and the expectations that they have are going to come full circle right back to you. And so, again, thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Black Sheep Rebranded. Thank you again for joining us for this Black Sheep Roundtable discussion. And Willie, Ruthann, all kinds of other people in the world that we care about, hopefully you're doing well, and we will see you guys soon now that we're back from holidays and hopefully into a little bit different pace soon with the sale of this property. Let's keep our fingers crossed.